Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on March 19th, 2024, taught by Bible teacher Hector Ramirez. Welcome to week 8 of our Who Do You Say I Am series, a study in the Gospel of John.
All right, so good evening, guys. It's always it's a pleasure to be here, just sharing God's word. It's a privilege. And so let's not keep on going. Let's just dive into the scripture. If you have your Bibles, open them up, turn them to the book of John, chapter 15, and we'll dive right into it. I'll read and you guys can follow along when you get there. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear much more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. Let me pray for us. Double prayers are never bad. Lord Jesus, Lord, I echo Adam's words. Lord, would you be with us today? Would you help us to grow bigger in the knowledge of your will? Lord, would you help me to glorify your name by speaking, Lord, your word? Do not let my words come out by your word, Lord. Would you bless us? Would you bless this fellowship of faithful men as we try to sharpen each other up, Lord, in your scripture? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So chapter 15 of John is what we know as the Upper Room Discourse, which is this very cool moment, this final conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And it happens right after the Last Supper and before Jesus' arrest. And so I always like imagining moments in scripture. So you can picture this moment when Jesus is talking to his disciples, the atmosphere of this moment. Remember, the arrest is just about to happen, and he's teaching them, he's preparing them for their future ministry. Now, I don't know about you guys, but every time that I go on a journey or trip, however long, I make sure that I let my wife and my little one, Milo, know how much I love them and how big of a blessing they are in my life. Why? Because reality is that we never know when God is going to call us home. In any trip, even if it is a short trip, you want to make sure that those words, that conversation, those final words that you tell to your family before you leave your house, that those are meaningful, that they count. Now, that is important because I think that's what Jesus is doing. Now, he knows that he's going to be raised from the dead. But even then, he wants to make sure that this moment is meaningful. And so I can picture Jesus telling his disciples, guys, before I go, I need to teach you something. I need to show you something. I need to teach you about fruitfulness in ministry. Now, that is profound. And to be honest, I don't think 15 minutes, 20 will do any justice to it. But I want to focus on two main points, two main principles. Now, we're going to get into the first one in just a second. But I want to bring the point that he is using this illustration about the vine and the branches. And he starts by saying that he is the true vine, which is probably a reference to Jeremiah 2 when Israel is called a degenerate vine, a fruitless vine. And so he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser or the gardener, depending on which translation you're using. and then the disciples, and by extension, all of us, we are the branches. And so, again, I wanna focus on two main principles in this passage. And the first one is fruit bearing is the mark of true discipleship. Now, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that he might bear more fruit. Guys, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, fruit bearing should be the mark of our ministry. Now, I want to really be careful with this passage because I know that this passage can trip some people up. When you read it and you meditate on it and you pray and then you turn around and you think, well, is this passage telling me that my salvation is at stake? Is this passage telling me that I can lose my salvation or that it can be taken away, right? And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that is the case. I don't think that's what this passage is teaching. Why? Because I don't think the Bible contradicts itself. And just a few passages, just a few chapters earlier, in John chapter 10, actually, Danny preached a great message a few weeks ago on chapter 10. The Bible says, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Did you hear that? No one can snatch you out of his hand. Now, if you're a true believer, if you're a true disciple, no one can snatch you out of his hand. If you're part of his flock, no one can snatch you out of his hand. Now, the question is, what does he mean then? What does verse 6 mean? When he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. What does that mean? Well, I think we need to examine this verse a little deeper. This passage a little deeper. Because Jesus says, he's talking about two types of branches, right? Branches that bear fruit and branches that do not bear fruit. Remember, who are the branches? We are the branches. Those who claim to be Jesus' disciples. Those who claim to be his followers. And I think that's an important statement. And if you're tracking with me, that is the question. So is it enough to claim to be Jesus' disciple? Is it enough to claim to be his follower? And I think key to answering that question, the key to answering that question lies in verse 8. Look at verse 8 if you're still in John 15. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Did you catch that? Right? Fruit bearing glorifies the Father, but also, Jesus says, it proves that you are his disciple. Fruit bearing is proof of true discipleship. And I think that is powerful, and I think that is merciful. Why is it merciful? Guys, because there's nothing worse than the deception of thinking that you are saved when the reality might be different. Matthew 7 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, then I will them plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, evil doer. Now, guys, John 15 does not teach that our salvation is at stake. It doesn't teach that your salvation can be taken away. Remember, if you're part of Jesus' flock, you're saved, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. But John 15, though, it's a powerful tool, an effective tool to discern and to recognize true discipleship. Now, my encouragement to you is to use that tool and not to go around and try to cast judgment on other people's ministries. Please don't do that. But my encouragement to you is to look around, look within, and ask yourself, where is the fruit in my ministry? Can I see fruit in my ministry? Which brings me to my second point. Fruit bearing is a result. It's not a goal. Now, what do I mean by that? If you're like me, after all I've said, you're probably wondering, Hector, so you are telling me that fruit bearing is proof of true discipleship, right? Well, at least you tell me, what am I looking for in my ministry? What does that fruit look like, right? What am I looking for? In other words, how do I know that I am a true disciple of Jesus? And guys, I think that is a fair question. Interestingly enough, though, Jesus doesn't really tell him. In this upper room, at this intimate moment, he really doesn't tell him what that fruit looks like exactly. And I think it's interesting, but I think also it's very intentional. If you look at the passage, Jesus is more concerned about us knowing how to produce the fruit rather than getting caught up in what kind of fruit it is or how much of that fruit. Look at what he says in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, it's really, really that simple. Jesus doesn't tell them about the type of fruit or how much of that fruit. He's telling us, guys, you need to focus on me. Whatever that fruit is, you first focus on me. If you focus on me, if you abide in me, if you abide in Jesus, in his word, and in his love, whatever that fruit is, you're going to become fruitful. And that is the beauty of the gospel. You focus on the root and you will become a fruitful branch. It is really that simple. But I do want to say something. I am also a very curious disciple. I like just digging deeper in scriptures. It's a little tangent there. A verse that inspired me is in Proverbs 25. And it's an older proverb. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search out matters. Now, why is that? Why was that inspiring to me? When I heard a pastor breaking it down, I thought it was super interesting. The words thing and matters, they can actually... They come from the same root word in Hebrew, and they can actually mean speaking or word. So the concept, the idea is that is the glory of God to hide things in his word, and it's the honor of kings, and I believe the honor of disciples to search out those things. So I love the concept that God hides things in scripture for us and not from us. So as I said, I'm a curious disciple, so I love digging deeper. So even though... exactly what fruit looks like in ministry is not in this specific passage. Jesus wants us to focus on him. I do wanna find out what that fruitfulness looks like in discipleship, in ministry. And you know, you could say, for instance, that disciple making is the fruit of, you know, it's fruitfulness in discipleship, in ministry. You could say that that Great Commission, obeying that Great Commission, is fruitfulness in ministry, like bringing the kingdom forth. And I think you would be right, partially. There's more to it, though. And I want to show you a couple of passages that echo the words in John 15. The first one is in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Dr. Luke is talking about John the Baptist while he's addressing the crowds. And he writes, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Verse 9 says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, I want you to pay attention to the language that he's using there. It's very similar to that of John 15. But the interesting thing is that he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So fruit, for Luke, it seems like to him, fruit is change actions that come from a changed heart, right? Actions that come from a truly repented heart. And I think that's interesting. Also, I wanted to see John 13, John chapter 13. Jesus is talking here again. This is just two chapters before chapter 15, which we're studying today. In chapter 15, Jesus says, "A new command I will give you. Love one another as I loved you. If you love, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, pay attention to that passage as well. Very similar language. He's saying, just two chapters after, he says that by the fruits of our ministry, we will prove that we're his disciples, right? Fruitfulness is proof of true discipleship. And in chapter 13, Jesus also says that by our love for one another, the world will know that we are his disciples. Now notice that he uses those two phrases interchangeably. And I think it is consistent with the rest of the scriptures. Like if you look in Galatians chapter 5, the list of the fruits of the Spirit, what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't think it is a coincidence that love is the first quality of the fruits of the Spirit. Love and actions that come from a repentant heart. I think that is consistent with the scripture. But again, I don't want to digress too much from the main principle in this passage. Because remember, this passage is not about what kind of fruit, of how much of that fruit. This passage is about abiding in God, abiding in Jesus. Any good works or any love that you will show to the world to witness about your discipleship and your faithfulness to Jesus, any fruit must be produced by him. Without him, we can do nothing. And so the real question is, how do we abide in Jesus' love? And this, my friends, Jesus gives us that answer very clear in scripture. Verse 9, chapter 15, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love." Now see that? Do you see that? Jesus says that obedience is directly connected to abiding in his love. Now I want you to remember this. I'm going to try to explain it because it's really amazing. Fruitfulness is proof of true discipleship. But to be fruitful, you have to abide in Jesus' love. And to abide in Jesus' love includes obedience. And that includes the Great Commission, right? Making disciples of all nations. And so I think it is powerful because when we understand that, we are free to, yes, make disciples of all nations, but at the same time, be free in our ministry. And I wanna say this because we have to be careful that when we understand this, we don't marginalize true believers, true Christians. Because just because you can't point to a group of people and say, "Hey, look at that group. All those are my disciples. I have a mentor of those people. I have witnessed to them. That is my ministry. Look at that little church that I have going on right here." Just because you can't say that, that doesn't mean that you are not a true disciple. So let's be careful with that. However, though, I'm not going to let you get away with that. If you're a true disciple, I truly believe that your ministry, your discipleship, should be moving, progressing towards disciple making. Why? Because that is being obedient, right? That is what God wants from us. That is what Jesus is telling us. Obey my commandments, including the Great Commission and making disciples, and you will abide in my love. I think this is important, guys, because if you're a true believer, there's no reason for us to make any arguments or try to rationalize disobedience to the Great Commission. There's no reason whatsoever. And I have encountered many people who are comfortable in their own little self-space in their ministry without reaching out to others. And while I'm telling you that's not all there is, that is an important piece of ministry, of rendering fruit. And so I truly believe, guys, that if we're true believers, the words of Paul in Colossians 1 will ring true to all of us. Paul writes, "For this reason, since the day that I've heard about you, I have not stopped praying for you, that we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." Listen to this. "Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Guys, fruitfulness in ministry goes beyond numbers, beyond personal achievements, beyond keeping a log of how many people we have witnessed to. Fruitfulness in ministry really includes the development of a Christ-like character, a character that exhibits the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, love, patience, kindness, all those great things. But it's a character that also obeys Jesus' commandments. Guys, it's a character that can only be produced if you abide in the true vine, if you abide in his word, if you abide in Jesus. So that is our challenge for us today. Let's look within and ask ourselves the question, how is my ministry? Where is the fruit in my ministry? I love something that Pastor Danny said the last time he preached. I think it was 3 weeks ago. He said, when he was talking about chapter 10 and the shepherd and the sheep, when we watched that video, he said, "We are all shepherds of some sort. Some of us, our flock looks like a big church, right?" And Pastor Ken happens to be here. He did mention that for many of us, our flock looks different. It might look like a small group table. For some of us, our sheep, our flock might look like our family. But we all are shepherds. We're all ministers. And we have been entrusted with a ministry. Now again, when we go into our discussion table, I want you, I'm going to challenge you to look within and ask yourself, how is my ministry? Where's the fruit in my ministry? Look into your character. And there's an activity that we normally do on the road when we go on our team time, and we split a list and we ask, okay, this is how I was before Jesus and this is how I am after Jesus. And it's a lot more challenging than you might imagine. If you say, "Hector, I was impatient, I was fearful," and then you look on the other side, and after Jesus reached me, are you able to see the change? Are you able to see the fruits in your ministry? Are you able to see the change in your character? And also, I'm going to challenge you to challenge yourself and ask that question in the context of disciple making. How many people have you reached lately, intentionally? How many people have you witnessed to and bring the kingdom of God to them? So that is a challenge for us today. We're going to go into our disciple on the our discussion tables. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to get started. Lord Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the fellowship here, Lord. Thank you for open hearts and open minds, Lord, that will receive your word and will treasure it, Lord, that will apply it to our lives, to our ministries, those ministers that you have entrusted us with. Lord, we strive to be fruitful, Lord. We want to glorify the Father, Lord. We want to prove to the world that we're true disciples. Lord, would you open our eyes and would you give us an honest heart to search in our ministries, Lord, and look for that fruit. And if we can't find the Lord, would you help us to strive, Lord, to be productive, to be fruitful branches. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.